Robert Murray McShane lived in this world for 29 years and 10 months. Who he was and what he did in that time is told in a very interesting and a hugely moving book, thankfully still in print. And it's told more succinctly by John J. Murray in the Evangelical Library Lecture 1993. He was born in Edinburgh in 1813, the youngest of a family of five. The family was stable, church-going, but as Robert grew up, he became the typical non-Christian youngster. What was important to him was his social life. There were endless parties, dances, girlfriends, who were interested in him and in whom he was interested. The lifestyle carried on right through his years at Edinburgh University, and then in 1831 a blow came. His eldest brother, David, who was a real Christian and who had been praying for his conversion to Christ, died. And in such a very close-knit family as this one, it was a very serious blow. And for once, Robert started to read serious books. The card parties were put to one side. Some of the other things he was doing were also put to one side. And he says he was awakened from the sleep of nature by reading a 20-page appendix to the Westminster Shorter Catechism. It's called The Sum of Saving Knowledge. And at that time he wrote, "I lost my loved and loving brother, but began to seek a brother who cannot die." And of course he was referring to Christ. And he gave expression to his conversion to Christ in the poem Jehovah Sidkenu, which we sing as a hymn in our blue songbook. Robert McShane now began to read the stories of the pioneer missionaries, particularly Henry Martin and David Brainerd. And they were influential in his coming to the decision to become a minister of the Church of Scotland. It's a mixed body today, and it was a mixed body in McShane's time. But the Reformed evangelicals were becoming so numerous that by 1832 they had become the majority in the national church. The Divinity Hall at Edinburgh University was led by Dr. Thomas Chalmers. During his time there, McShane laid the basis of what was to be a particularly fervent and spiritually disciplined private life. He decided to live so as he would be missed when he was gone. And he also picked up Jonathan Edwards' idea of having resolutions. Here's one of his resolutions. Resolved to attain the most entire likeness to Christ that it is possible for a redeemed sinner to have in this world. And so the resolutions go on. He read three chapters of the Bible every day, and he drew up a calendar of readings which ensured that he would read the whole Bible in a year. That calendar, by the way, is printed at the back of this book. By the way, have you read all the Bible at least once? Perhaps that calendar would help you if you're serious about it. He was also a recommender of turning the Bible into prayer. For instance, Psalm 1:1 partly says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly." McShane writes, quote, "If you are reading the first psalm, spread the Bible on the chair before you and kneel and pray, O Lord, give me the blessedness of the man who..." and so on. This is a good way of knowing the meaning of the Bible and of learning how to pray. Unquote. And as a result, he knew consistent inward spiritual prosperity, this cultivation of a serious personal holiness led on to the most anxious efforts to win people to Christ when he was 23, year 1836, he was ordained as minister of St. Peter's Church, Dundee. It was a new church, it could hold 1,100 people. At the time, the population of Dundee, then growing, it was 57,000. In the parish, there were 11 food shops and 108 pubs. And a quarter of a typical working class family income went on alcohol. McShane drew up a sort of battle plan. He notified families that he intended to visit them. And he gave about 12 to 15 families the notification on a day given over to visiting. It would take him about 6 hours. And in every house, he clearly set out and applied the gospel message. But he never made the mistake of thinking that outward activity was his main work. In his own words, it is not great talents God blesses so much as a great likeness to Jesus. God showed his presence almost immediately. There were a steady flow of conversions. But then he became ill. And during the recuperation period, his church sent him on a fact-finding mission to Palestine. They wanted to send missionaries to the Jewish people. And as an aside, for those of you who are interested, John Duncan, or Rabbi Duncan as he's sometimes known, became a missionary to the Jewish community in Hungary as a result of this. While McShane was away, a revival came to Dundee. W.C. Burns, who was occupying McShane's pulpit, was astonished to see people in front of him with tears in their eyes, crying over sin and then crying out for God's mercy. Services had to be held nightly, 7 days a week. Anxious inquirers packed the church. There were 39 prayer meetings a week at the peak of this activity. And when McShane came home and restarted his ministry, the same pattern carried on. Only a 5-point Calvinist like McShane would describe himself as a spectator of what was going on. That was his word. Rather than the instrument of what was going on. Although he was undoubtedly an instrument in God's hands. And on the very evening of his return to Dundee from this trip, he preached, making no reference to his visit to Palestine. People crowded around after the service, so he preached again. It had grown dark. The roads to his house were packed full of people. So anxious to hear the gospel that he preached to them, expounding his text as he went along the road to groups of them until he got to his house. And then he went into the meadows which then surrounded Dundee and preached in the open air. And on one occasion the rain came down, but the packed crowd stood still to the end. By January 1843, he was afflicted with such bad heart palpitations, and he was so exhausted that he fainted in the pulpit. Persisting in his visitation during an epidemic, he caught typhus fever, and he died in 1843. There were nearly 7,000 people in the funeral procession. In his ministry, which lasted 7.5 years, he stamped a mark on Scotland and on the Christian world, which has left a memory of a man with real heavenly mindedness, a repudiation of worldliness, an ardent love for Christ, a total dependence on grace, and the need for the constant nurture of the soul in the ongoing battle with indwelling sin. Now we know that the spiritual power he had lies in God's sovereign hands. But as far as McShane had any part in God's working, we must look to his close communion with Christ. He's often admired, he's rarely imitated, and yet he achieved no more in following Christ than is open to every believer here. God is the same, and McShane was an ordinary man. We'll close with some of his words, the ones Bonner used as he finished the memoir. There has been one among us who spent his days and nights in ceaseless strivings after holiness and the salvation of sinners. Hundreds of souls were his reward from the Lord before he left us, and in him we have been taught what one man can do who will press farther into the presence of his God. Oh, may that apply to us too.